Hi, it's Doug. Just a fair warning that the clips that we're using on today's show are very profane, more profane than we've ever had on this podcast. So if you're listening at work, I would recommend headphones. If you have little ears around, you've been given fair warning. And if you yourself are offended by such language, no hard feelings if you skip today's show. And welcome in. It's the weekend edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. It is not just your weekend. It is the NFL Super Wild Card Weekend. 6 games total, 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday. And by the end of it, we'll know who the Packers are going to be playing next weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs. Of course, the NFC playoffs, the road to the Super Bowl, goes right through Lambeau Field. The early game on Saturday on CBS will pit the Colts against the Bills in Buffalo. Indy comes in at 11-5, Buffalo 13-3. At 3:40 on Fox, it'll be the Rams and the Seahawks from Seattle. Los Angeles comes in at 10-6 on the season. The Seahawks are 12-4. Meanwhile, at 7:15 on NBC in primetime, Tampa Bay is at Washington. The Buccaneers trying to become the first team ever to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. They come in with an 11-5 record. Washington, they are 7-9, but again, they won the putrid NFC East this year. So, yes, a sub-500 record in the NFC was enough to secure a playoff berth. Meanwhile, on Sunday, January 10th, there are 3 more games as well on ESPN. 12:05, it's the Ravens and the Titans from Nashville. Baltimore comes in at 11-5. That's the same record that Tennessee is sporting. At 3:40 on CBS, it'll be the Bears and the Saints. Chicago, the number 7 seed, the last seed in the NFC playoffs. They're in the postseason despite their loss to the Packers last weekend in the final game of the regular season, week number 17. The Saints come in with a 12-4 record. And then in primetime, I've been looking forward to this game. There's a couple of games that I think are going to be really good. I think the early game on Saturday and the late game on Sunday, to me, those are going to be fantastic games. That Ravens-Titans game, that might be a really good one as well. But primetime, Sunday Night Football, 2 teams that don't like each other very much, but 2 teams that are playing kind of opposite football at the end of the season. The Steelers, they've lost 4 out of their last 5 to end the season. They're still the home team, though. They're taking on the 11-5 Cleveland Browns. Yes, the Browns in the playoffs for the first time in 18 seasons. I think that's going to be a great game. Of course, the Packers, they await their opponent, taking things easy this week at practice. Again, we'll know more on Monday as the playoffs ramp up. I had a couple of other things on tap for today, but we can bemoan the inconsistency of the market. Golden Eagles next week. Also, the Bucks are finally starting to play better basketball after a shaky start to the season. We'll ask the question, does it even matter? Because their regular season record certainly never mattered the last 2 seasons when the playoffs rolled around. How much good did it do the Bucks against the Raptors when the Bucks had the best regular season record 2 seasons ago? It didn't. How much did it help the Bucks last season when they had the best record in the NBA when they went up against the Miami Heat in the second round of the playoffs? Yeah, it didn't really help them that much or at all then either. Just some matchup problems, but you know what? You don't have to be the number 1 seed going into the postseason, as we've seen the last couple of years. We can do that all next week, and we're going to do that all next week as well. But we do have some breaking news today. Our top story, the death of the great Tommy Lasorda at age 93. Now, it's not a Wisconsin-centric podcast today. And again, calling an audible. I had a number of things planned for today's show, but we will definitely get to them next week. But Tommy Lasorda was just one of those baseball guys. When I was a kid, he was not only the Dodgers manager, but also on the baseball bunch, he was the dugout wizard. And that was one of those shows that if you're my age, and I'm in my late 40s, if you're my age, you remember that show as one of those seminal moments that got you to love the game of baseball. It was hosted by Johnny Bench. It had the San Diego Chicken, a group of kids that just learned how to play baseball with a guest of the week. And I remember when Raleigh Fingers was the guest of the week, and it was just so cool to see a Brewer on that show, but, you know, it could have been one of Johnny Bench's Reds teammates, like Davey Concepcion one day, or, you know, Reggie Jackson, or Tom Seaver, I think, was a guest one time. And, yeah, Tommy Lasorda was such a huge part of that show. He was on it every single week, and he was in the Swami outfit, and he'd answer questions from Johnny Bench and the kids at the end of the show. He was an ambassador for baseball. He wasn't just an ambassador for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but when I think of that era of baseball, that's the guy that I think of. And Tommy Lasorda was one of those guys that he always kind of seemed old. I mean, when I'm talking about like the dugout wizard, or when he was the manager of the Dodgers starting in the mid-1970s, he already looked like he was in his 60s or 70s. Now, he passed away at the age of 93, but he always kind of looked old, and he had that grandfatherly look about him. But Tommy Lasorda, just this past week, he had been released from the hospital after a month-long stint that included time in the intensive care unit. So he was released, and unfortunately, it looks like late Thursday night, he had a heart attack and passed away. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred issued this statement, quote, "Tommy Lasorda was one of the finest managers our game has ever known. He loved life as a Dodger. His career began as a pitcher in 1949, but he is, of course, best known as the manager of two World Series champions and four pennant-winning clubs. His passion, success, charisma, and sense of humor turned him into an international celebrity, a stature that he used to grow our sport. Tommy welcomed Dodger players from Mexico, the Dominican Republic, Japan, South Korea, and elsewhere, making baseball a stronger, more diverse, and better game. He served Major League Baseball as the global ambassador for the first two editions of the World Baseball Classic and managed Team USA to gold in the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney. Tommy loved family, the United States, the national pastime, and the Dodgers, and he made them all proud during a memorable baseball life. I am extremely fortunate to have developed a wonderful friendship with Tommy and will miss him. It feels appropriate that in his final months, he saw his beloved Dodgers win the World Series for the first time since his 1988 team. On behalf of Major League Baseball, I send my deepest sympathy to his wife of 70 years, Joe, and their entire family, the Dodger organization, and their generations of loyal fans," end quote. That statement from Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. Tommy Lasorda was certainly of a different era. He managed the Dodgers for 20 seasons, 1976, actually 21 seasons, 1976 through 1996. During his time as manager, as was mentioned by Commissioner Manfred, the Dodgers won a couple of World Series, 1981, 1988. In the 70s, won a couple of more pennants. Both of those played against the Yankees. His first three World Series were all Dodgers-Yankees. So it was, what, 1977, 1978, and then 1981. And then it was the Dodgers over the A's in 1988. We all remember Kirk Gibson's home run, and those that were trying to flee Dodger Stadium and get out of traffic before everyone else decided that they were going to leave, and the brake lights in the parking lot. What just happened? That was Tommy Lasorda's last World Series champion. A couple of times he won the Manager of the Year, managed in four All-Star games, of course. He won 1,599 games as a manager. That is 22nd all-time in baseball history, second in Dodgers history behind Walter Alston. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1997. After retiring from managing, Tommy stayed with the Dodgers, had a bunch of different titles. Should have just been ambassador. That's what he was. He was a baseball ambassador. He was a Dodgers ambassador. And he was employed by the Dodgers as first a player, then as a scout, then as a coach, then as manager, then as an ambassador for 72 years. So that's the official business of the passing of Tommy Lasorda, who I was fortunate enough to meet a few times. I thought I had interviewed him at one point. I think I did. I just can't find the audio file of it. I'm going to keep looking, but I didn't have all day to look for it and not put out a podcast today on the passing of Tommy Lasorda. So if I can find it, I'll certainly bring it to you in a future Doug Russell podcast. But he was always pleasant, at least with me. Loved baseball. and was also maybe the most profane person I've ever encountered. Keeping in mind, I've spent most of the last 30 years in professional sports locker rooms. But Tommy took it to another level. He was the expletive Picasso, painting a tapestry of words that would get your mouth washed out with soap in a different era. But Tommy swore with absolute impunity. My personal favorite, June 30th, 1982. Dodgers reliever Tom Niedenfuhr hit San Diego Padres batter Joe LaFever in the head with an 0-2 pitch moments after he gave up a home run. Now, if you know anything about baseball, if you go 0-2 on a guy, you're not going to then hit him. If you're going to dot him, you're going to dot him with the first pitch, or the first pitch is going to go behind him, and then you're going to hit him in the hip with the second pitch. That's how it's done in baseball. You don't do it on an 0-2, but Padres player and former Brewer, Kurt Bevacqua, thought it was intentional, and he started a brawl. After the game, an unsuspecting reporter asked Lasorda about Bevacqua's accusation that the pitch was intentional. Tommy's response?
Tell you what I think about it. I think that is very, very bad for that man to make an accusation like that. That is terrible. I have never, ever, since I've managed, ever told a pitcher to throw at anybody, nor will I ever. And if I ever did, I certainly wouldn't make him throw at a fucking 130 hitter like LaFay or fucking Bevacqua, who could hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat. And I guarantee fucking to you this, when I pitched and I was going to pitch against a fucking team that had guys on it like Bevacqua, I sent a fucking limousine to get the cocksucker to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup, because I kicked that cocksucker's ass any fucking day in a week. He's a fucking motherfucking big mouth, I'll tell you that.
That's great stuff right there. That's an all-timer from one of the most deliciously profane human beings that ever walked the planet, Tommy Lasorda. Another all-timer from that same era happened in 1981. It was during a Dodgers-Mets series in New York. During the series, Tommy had a run-in with a columnist from the New York Daily News who only went by The Nose. And The Nose criticized Tommy Lasorda for his penchant of hugging players and showing too much emotion on the field when the Dodgers won. Tommy?
I'm the happiest son of a bitch in the world. And that son of a bitch who writes under that Daily News, that fucking guy they call the fucking Nose, who says that shit, me jumping up and down, is horse shit, you want to let him feel like I have. Who the fuck is that cocksucker anyway? Some fucking guy that writes with a New York Daily News called the fucking Nose, he says, Lasorda jumping up and down. That's the fucking way I feel when my team wins. And if I fucking want to jump up and down when my fucking team wins, and if I want to hug my fucking players when they fucking do good, I'm going to do it. I don't give a shit what the fucking Nose says.
That's phenomenal stuff right there. Maybe the most famous of the Tommy Lasorda rants happened on May 14th, 1978. Los Angeles radio reporter Paul Olden wasn't necessarily trying to set Tommy off when he asked in the post-game presser in Tommy's office about how he would characterize the performance of Chicago Cubs slugger Dave Kingman, who hit three home runs in Chicago's 10-7 win at Dodger Stadium.
What's your opinion of Kingman's performance?
What's my opinion of Kingman's performance? What the fuck you think is my opinion of it? I think it was fucking horseshit. Put that in. I don't fucking opinion of his performance. Jesus Christ, he beat us with three fucking home runs. What the fuck do you mean, what is my opinion of his performance? How can you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance? Jesus Christ, he hit three home runs. Jesus Christ. I'm fucking pissed off to lose a fucking game. And you ask me my opinion of his performance? Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a tough question to ask me, isn't it? What is my opinion of his performance?
Yes, it is. I asked it, and you gave me an answer.
Well, I didn't give you a good answer because I'm mad, but I mean...
That wasn't a good question.
That's a tough question to ask me right now. What is my opinion of his performance? I mean, you want me to tell you what my opinion of his performance is?
You just did.
That's right. Jesus Christ. Guy hits 3 home runs against us. Shit. I mean, I don't mean to get pissed off or anything like that, but, you know, you asked me my opinion. I mean, he put on a hell of a show. He hit 3 home runs. He drove in what, 7 runs?
8
runs. Well, what the hell more can you say about it? I didn't mean to get mad or anything like that, but goddamn, he asked me my opinion of his performance. See you, Joe.
That might be the one that we're most familiar with. Here's one you might not be quite as familiar with. 1981, the Dodgers were playing the Expos, and Montreal pitcher Scott Sanderson was pitching a terrible game. But the Expos still won. The Dodgers were only helping Sanderson's cause by squandering scoring opportunity after scoring opportunity. Sanderson did not have any kind of accuracy that game. He was missing the plate the whole time. But the Dodgers were swinging anyway. They were stranding runners on base throughout the game. Tommy, take it from there.
Yeah, dude, I ain't fucking shitting when I say this. That fucking cocksucker was burying himself right on the fucking mound. Fucking swinging his fucking balls this fucking high. He walks Russell. He don't come close to the fucking plate. He walks Sacks. He don't come near the fucking plate. 2 balls in 1 fucking strike and a fucking ball up in his fucking eyes and Lando swings at the motherfucking ball. How the fuck can you hit that fucking guy? Garvey needed a fucking oar to hit the fucking ball today. That's how fucking bad he was. Them fucking pitches were. I tell you, he'd have made a fucking great fucking cricket player. Hit them on 1 fucking bounce. I tell you, that's a fucking crime. We had 1 fucking scoring opportunity to win that motherfucking game. And I tell you, that cocksuckers get away with that fucking shit. That motherfucker.
That long enough for you, Jim?
I don't give a fuck. I'm fucking shit. Fuck them. Lucky motherfucker. How the fuck did a cocksucker get by with that fucking shit? Yeah, put that in your fucking paper, TJ. Every fucking word I said, put in the motherfucking paper. I don't give a fuck, TJ.
How do you spell?
Put that in that motherfucking paper you work for. What the fuck is the name of that paper, TJ?
Tommy, what was your opinion of him?
Get the fuck out of here, Joe.
No, I'm serious. I'm
serious, too. Get the fuck out of here. I don't want to fucking talk to you. Penguin's right. You are a fucking spy. Penguin knows you.
Good stuff from the late Tommy Lasorda. One more. Finally, after Tommy's managerial career, he did some broadcasting. And here's where he was paired with fellow Dodgers great Duke Snyder. They were coming back from a break. I'll just leave you with this.
I just farted. I can't hear that. Duke, did you hear that? Duke, did you hear that? I just farted. Did you hear that? I just farted. Yeah, that's what it smells like. Slim Fast.
Rest in profane peace, Tommy. You were a character for the ages. Tommy Lasorda. The great Tommy Lasorda has passed at the age of 93, but he will never, ever be forgotten. All right, a couple of housekeeping notes before we say goodbye. I promised Lance Leipold on today's show. We're actually going to hold that interview for Monday's national championship in college football. Got into some great stuff with Lance, who spent the last 6 seasons as the University of Buffalo head coach. This past year, they won their 2nd straight bowl game. They had never won a bowl game before Lance got there. They were also ranked, Buffalo was, for the first time ever in 2020 as well. So as crazy as this past year was, it was actually okay for some of our friends, and certainly friend of the show, Lance Leipold, had a really, really good season in Buffalo, and we'll talk to him coming up on Monday's show. Also, we'll have a lot to say about Super Wild Card Weekend. And, of course, by then we'll know who the Packers get in the divisional round of the playoffs coming up. Not this weekend, obviously, but next weekend as well. As always, you can hit us up on our socials. You can find us on Facebook. You can just search for the Doug Russell Podcast. You can always email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Twitter and Instagram, same username, very simply, at Doug Russell Pod. And you can also search for us on YouTube as well. That'll do it for this weekend edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. We will talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.